It's July 19th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine here along with Adrian Blust for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, what it's like to be on the receiving end of a ransomware attack, the latest headlines, and more. This episode is sponsored by Kava and Nexo.io. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin is stuck in a month-long downtrend as traders experience choppy conditions over the past few days. A break below the important $30,000 price level is likely given the loss of upside momentum and strong resistance on the charts. The 50-period moving average on the 4-hour chart is sloping downwards, which indicates a declining trend over the past month. Immediate resistance is seen around the $32,000 and $34,000 level, which could limit upside if buyers return at support. The Relative Strength Index, that's the RSI, is not yet oversold on the 4-hour and daily charts, that being sellers are in control as buyers await lower support levels. If prices break below $30,000, the next level of support is seen around $27,000, which is a 60% retracement from the March 2020 price low. Bitcoin's current sideways trading is similar to the June through November 2018 period, where the top cryptocurrency traded in a range between $5,900 and $7,400, which preceded further selling as the bear market advanced. Bitcoin is currently trading at $30,629 per token. That's down 3.5% over the last 24 hours, while Ethereum is trading at $1,809 per token. That's down 7.5% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. And in related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. Then after the break, we'll take a look at the ransomware experience. But first, here's what's hot. In traditional markets, U.S. stock futures, oil prices, and government bond yields slid amid anxiety that the spread of the Delta coronavirus variant would hold back the global economy. Futures for the S&P 500 fell 0.8%, signaling opening losses for the broad stock market gauge after it snapped a 3-week winning streak on Friday. Contracts for the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1%, futures on the technology-focused NASDAQ 100 fell 0.4%, and that's all according to the Wall Street Journal. The Financial Times reports Europe's Stoxx 600 index fell 1.5% and London's FTSE 100 dropped 2.1%. Japan's TOPIX fell 1.3%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng index dropped 1.7%. So not a great day for markets out there. According to Bloomberg, a Bank of England policymaker says it would be a mistake to reduce stimulus now, and he's not the only one. And in another Bloomberg story, the good times may be over for Chinese companies hoping to go public outside of China, quote, "It's unlikely there will be any U.S.-listed companies in 5 to 10 years, other than perhaps a few big ones with secondary listings," said a longtime academic observer. Meanwhile, back in the United States, Cathie Wood's ARK Invest's up Square Holdings after CEO Jack Dorsey announced he's leading the fintech giant even further down the crypto rabbit hole. Reuters reports on new accusations from the U.S. and allies alleging China is running a global cyber hacking campaign. CoinDesk reports on a new study from a Yale economist and Federal Reserve attorney who says stablecoins are risky like wildcat bank practices of the 19th century. Quote, "If policymakers wait a decade, stablecoin issuers will become the money market funds of the 21st century, too big to fail, and the government will have to step in with a rescue package whenever there's a financial panic," the paper reads. CoinDesk's Sebastian Sinclair has a more detailed look at that report. Turning to international news, floods in Europe kill at least 183 as more rain looms. Turkey plans to present a new law on cryptocurrencies in October. China releases its first carbon offset on the Ant Group blockchain. El Salvador may issue its own stablecoin, or at least that's what President Nayib Bukele's brother reportedly pitched to foreign investors. CoinDesk's James Rubin has that story. And just in case you are wondering where the next big NFT is coming from, the regionally dominant South China Morning Post is set to mint historical records as NFTs. Will they be popular? We don't know, but they're doing it. Turning to industry news, the Bitcoin network sees the fourth straight downward difficulty adjustment. Quote, "The last four adjustments have been downward, and it now looks like the blockchain is back to normal," one analyst said. We're almost through our world tour, but here are another few quick headlines. Russian Industry Association working to attract crypto mining. Alibaba's e-commerce platform to include NFT arts in its Maker Festival coming up soon. And U.S. Presidential Advisory Group discusses stablecoins. That's the same group that's known as the Plunge Protection Team, informally. And in news we're excited about over here, Grayscale unveils DeFi fund linked to a new CoinDesk index. The companies, both subsidiaries of CoinDesk Parent Group Digital Currency Group, or DCG, wrote in a joint press release that the Grayscale DeFi fund provides, quote, "exposure to a selection of industry-leading DeFi protocols through a market capitalization-weighted portfolio," end quote. The idea is that investors can allocate money towards DeFi without having to buy the tokens directly, which can be actually fairly complicated. CoinDesk's Brad Cowan reports. And in lighter news, here's our intern Adrian Blust with a story.
Central bank researchers at the Cleveland branch of the Federal Reserve confirmed what many crypto watchers have long suspected, that COVID stimulus checks fueled a modest jump in Bitcoin price last year.
Thanks for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for After the Break when we're back with a look at an odd exchange between a victim and ransomware group Revil. Back in a minute.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. Mint stablecoins, lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. Looking to make the most of your crypto assets? Nexo.io's got you covered. Grow your wealth securely with Nexo's high-yield interest accounts. Buy crypto on your terms, directly within Nexo's platform, and start earning daily compounding interest right away. Get the cash you need without selling your crypto from just 6.9% APR. Instantly swap between 100 crypto and traditional currency pairs. And don't worry, Nexo is insured against losses up to $375 million. Get the most of your crypto at nexo.io. That's nexo.io.
Today's featured story is a news hit from CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley. A new study of a ransomware attack reveals the dialogue that takes place between the attacker and the victim, including live chat support, a negotiated discount, and a surcharge for paying in Bitcoin. Research by blockchain analytics firm Elliptic, published Monday, examines the case of a small business being contacted by Revil ransomware attackers demanding $50,000 in Monero for a decryption tool. In the ensuing dialogue on a, quote, victim portal, reminiscent of live chat support on an IT help website, the victim stated that $50,000 was too much money and asked for a reduction, to which the attacker replied, quote, my boss can offer 20% discount, end quote. Rather than paying in the anonymity-focused crypto Monero, the victim asked to pay in Bitcoin as it was easier to obtain. The attacker accepted the request, albeit with a 10% surcharge, reflecting the increased traceability of Bitcoins. The victim asked for reassurance that the attacker could perform the decryption by requesting a demonstration with two of the affected files, which the attacker appeared to oblige. The attacker rejected a request to cut the payment to $10,000 or $20,000, finally agreeing to $25,000 and okay, not lower, end quote. Elliptic's research then shows the steps Revil took to launder the Bitcoin received, splitting it into different streams, transferring it to different wallets, and combining it with Bitcoins from other sources. The analytics firm said it was able to make the information available to law enforcement bodies, crypto exchanges, and financial institutions to identify coins and wallets associated with cybercrime, to take appropriate steps in preventing the criminals from being able to cash out. Quote, this laundering process in this case is still ongoing, but nevertheless, we can already trace some of the funds to exchanges, the report said. Quote, those exchanges will have information on the identities of people whose accounts receive the funds, providing strong leads for law enforcement, end quote. While high-profile attacks on large companies and critical infrastructure, such as the one that hit Colonial Pipeline in May, obtained widespread attention, small businesses account for 50 to 75% of ransomware victims, according to Elliptic's report. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and for those of you still with us, we'd love to hear what you think. We're trying to find the perfect balance of headline coverage and detail. If you've got any thoughts on shows this week, which are shorter compared against our longer, more detailed episodes last week, go ahead and send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.